Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Alan and Kafam. On tonight's program, we have John with us, an Australian of Greek background. He'll share with us a little about being Greek and the Greek culture. And also, the United We Dance Party is on this Sunday, and John has all the information about the exciting event. And also, he is here to talk about the support and social group Greek and Gay. So please stay with us for the next hour on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Hello, Sakis Rouvas, Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9. Alan and Kafam here with you. And now that's the latest import from Athens, apparently.
John can tell us about that, is it?
Well, it was very popular 2 months ago.
2 months ago? Yes. Well, you know, we're always a bit late over here in Australia when it comes to music, a couple of months behind.
Welcome to the studio, John.
Thanks.
From Greek and Gay, amongst a whole lot of other hats that you wear.
Yep.
And you're also involved in the coming up there.
The United We Dance Party.
Definitely am.
So tell us, what is the United We Dance Party all about?
Well, it basically started about 6 years ago, and it was just a way to get all the ethnic groups together following September 11 and Bali. So it was a way of bringing us all together and showing that we can party well all together without worrying about what our backgrounds are and where we're from.
I don't know why I got this impression, but the AGMC conference in 2004, for some reason or other, I got the impression that that was the first time it had been run, but you seem to be implying it had run for two or three years.
No, the conference was was completely different. The AGMC didn't start till after United We Dance. United We Dance was...
I thought they were the same time.
United We Dance started as pretty much a... And this is up to contention, but some say it was a brainchild from Greek and Gay. others don't. But basically, all the ethnic groups that were around back then in 2002, I think it was, got together, formed a committee, a fairly informal one, to run the event. And so it was run by individual multicultural groups. So you would have had the Greek and Gay, Italian and Gay, Arab and Gay. Yellow Kitties, I think, were involved. There were a couple of other groups as well that were involved in the first event.
Now, I'm just curious, you know, with the music which is heard, could we expect that kind of thing at a dance party?
Yeah, well, basically, it is a dance party, so the music will be, pop and dance type music.
Dance type music.
It won't be waltzes.
No, if you are really bored with what, you know, the gay scene has to offer every week in, week out with the same boring drone of repetitive same music, you know, come along to this event.
Yeah, it'll be different, that's for sure.
Well, presumably there's dance music from a number of different countries. I mean, we had an example of Greek music there. Presumably, do you know what other nationalities will be represented?
We've been given music from the Italians. We have Arabic music. We have Israeli music. We will be having Russian and Baltic music.
Wow.
I believe there's some Asian music as well. I'm not sure about the full complement, but they're some of the ones that I've picked up along the way, because we basically call on the groups to help us, because there is no, well, that we know of, any DJ that does this sort of thing. So we're helping the DJ along and getting him some music for the night.
And presumably the DJ mixes all of this somehow
yes.
and into one continuous stream, or presumably.
Yes, let's hope so.
That'll be some sort of a challenge if they're not used to mixing this type of music.
Yeah, well, the DJ Proko has actually done the event before, so he's a little bit familiar with how we operate. Together with his helpers, I'm sure he'll put on a decent, a really good show.
And all this is all volunteer work.
Yes, it is.
So DJ Proko is actually putting in his time.
This year, he definitely is.
Now, how long has it taken to plan an event like this?
Very short time, unfortunately. this year's event was sort of pulled together fairly quickly, and Colin Kreiser and myself have basically worked on the bulk of it, and we've had some help from Archie Lesbica as well.
Which is the
Italian girls. So we didn't get around to formalising a committee this year or anything like that. We've done it quite a bit for the last few years, so we pretty much know what we're doing.
Well, you've been involved yourself, haven't you, for a lot of these?
Yeah, I think I started getting involved in the second or third one. I wasn't there for the first one, but ever since then I've been involved. Yeah.
So how much time are you spending on this?
Too much.
I mean, do you have a life during this period? Or
yeah, you try. You try. No, look, it's good. I enjoy the challenge, and it can get challenging at times. But between myself and Colin, we've split up the duties pretty much, and he's taking care of all the shows and all the production side there. And I'm just taking care of a lot of the other stuff. And
for those who were referring to Colin Kreiser here, Colin is another one of those people around the traps who provides his time in so many different areas. One of a number of people, I guess, in the community that offer their services to various community groups to help out.
And it's just definitely a man of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just digressing, did you use the word trap?
Sorry?
Did you use the word trap?
Around the traps, yeah.
Well, cover your ears, you've got...
Sorry, that's an Australianism. Are you not familiar?
No, because cover your ears, you've got kids in the car. Now, trap in Greek, I just found out. How do you say Greek... No, trap.
Sorry?
Because we had a Greek photographer at this birthday party, and he was saying, he's telling me, because I was saying, the envelope in... How do you say envelope in Greek?
Faculo.
Faculo. And how do you say...
I hear where you're going now.
And how do you say lentils?
Fakes.
Yes, and how do you say trap?
I can't remember.
Cover your ears if you've got kids in the car, fucker.
All right.
Just digressing.
Shall we move on?
Yes, and so the proceeds, where is the proceeds going to this year?
This year's event, all the proceeds are going to the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. And every year, all the proceeds have always gone to charity. Or to help out the multicultural groups in a particular year. But the whole purpose of the event was for us to have a good time, for no one to really financially benefit from it, other than to raise money for a particular charity. And we've donated up and over the last 6 years over $9,000 we've raised out of this event. So.
And how about numbers? And have they grown over the years? Or
they tend to fluctuate the numbers quite a bit depending on what else is on the night. And being an early night, it started off as an end of year celebration, and that's the way that we've tried to have it towards the end of the year. But of course, being summer and it's a Sunday night, you still got to have it on relatively early. But our numbers have ranged from anywhere from the high 200s to 400, 450. Depending on the year.
Still decent numbers.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And we've got some good sponsors on board this year, too, to help us out with the running costs so that we can distribute as much of the door proceeds as we can.
There used to be free ouzo.
That's the Greek night.
Oh, that's the Greek night. I'm getting the two mixed up. Sorry about that.
There is a free drink on arrival.
There's a free drink on arrival.
Yeah, just to warm you up a little bit if you're not warm enough.
I don't know. And where is the event going to be held at?
At
the Market Hotel. And now, before the show, you're telling us about this belly dancing that I didn't know about. There was a snake involved in this dance. What happened there last year?
That was a couple of years ago.
That was a few years ago. One of the belly dancers had a snake in his performance, and yes, the snake hadn't been to the toilet for a while and decided to do it on stage. So that was quite interesting. I mean, I don't think anyone really was upset except for the drag queens that had to come on next.
Didn't splatter all over the stage, did it? Oh, on the dancer itself?
No, so. Just on the stage. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, this is Orange Ribbon with Kafam and Alan, and we're talking to John from Greek and Gay, talking about United We Dance, which is coming up next Sunday night.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Anna Vissi with Diri Datta. Anna Vissi apparently is the Greek version of Madonna.
Yes, she's been around for a while.
She's been around for a while and really successful and keep reinventing herself.
Yes, she does. She's an amazing person.
And John is our guest tonight. We're talking about the United We Dance Party, which is on this week. And we had a bit of a contention earlier with Alan, who says next week and means this week, actually. So it's this Sunday night.
Yes, but next Sunday means this Sunday in my version of English.
So it's on the 16th of
November.
November. That's right. Now, if you want to get more information about this event, where can you, you know, get more information?
We have a website. It's unitedwedance.org.au. One word, obviously. Or you can email at info@unitedwedance.org.au. They're the two main areas for pulling out more information. There's a Facebook thing set up as well. In fact, there's three of them set up.
Goodness.
Yes. And there's photos on there and details of the event. And but if you do a search on United We Dance, you should come up with it pretty well.
Yeah, just Google United We Dance.
Yeah,
well, even within Facebook, if they're in Facebook, if you do a search,
yep.
Presumably with the name.
Although I
Facebook.
Haven't quite worked all that one out yet.
Now, international acts. Are there international acts? And if so...
They're international flavoured acts?
International flavoured acts.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
What I mean, after all, Australia is such a multicultural program, we can just pull out someone,
that's
you know...
That's right, you don't need to go overseas to get acts.
I mean, we have Nick out there who's Greek, you know, manning our phones.
Of course.
Yes, I wonder if he's going to, you know...
Of course he's going.
Well, he better be.
He's a big dancing queen.
International-oriented acts.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about them.
Yep.
Well, there'll be a variety of acts. There'll be dancing acts. There'll be drag performers, musical acts, and backgrounds. There'll be Italian. There'll be Greek, Arabic, Indian, Malaysian, I think.
All the UN flags, basically.
Not all of it's finished yet, I believe, but I believe there's Kuriaks as well. But there's about 16 performers on the night,
wow.
So there'll be three shows.
Roughly what time?
It'll depend on the crowd and what time everyone gets there, but we'll be aiming to start the shows probably by about 8:30, and then maybe 9:30 and 10:30 or thereabouts. Mm.
What time does it finish then? It starts at what, 6 or 6?
7.
7?
Starts at 7. And we'll be going until the last person's on the dance floor.
Collapse.
The market's licensed till 3. So we'll be there as long as we need to be there.
So it's starting early because that's factoring into, taking into consideration that it's a Sunday night, is that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, most nights we tend to, in the past, we've tended to finish around the 1:30. And that was because back then the market used to have their Sunday night open, so they would have their own crowd coming in after 12. But now we've got the night to ourselves, so we can pretty much go as long as we please.
That's cool.
And how much is a door charge?
It's $10 to get in. And
that's relatively inexpensive.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's not all.
And you get heaps with that $10. you get your drink on arrival, as we mentioned before. You get the performers and the shows. There'll be some food and nibblies in the earlier part of the evening. So if you want to come and eat something, come in earlier. Because that tends to go pretty quick with all those wogs around. And I can use that term because I'm allowed. What else? Oh, there'll be door prizes. So everyone will get a ticket at the front door. And during the second and third show, we'll be announcing the lucky numbers and people walk away with some nice door prizes, hopefully.
It's interesting, the comment you just made a moment ago, and I guess to an extent it's probably similar to the gay and lesbian community where we've picked up Dyke and Poof and all that sort of thing, and you use the term WOG, and you can use the term WOG. And then a few years ago we had the stage shows of WOGs at work and WOGs doing various things,
yep.
WOGs out of work or whatever it was. I must confess that for me, to use that terminology, I would feel as though it would still be offensive to use. You can use it and not obviously make not be offensive, but how is it treated if I were to call you a wog these days? Would it still be seen as offensive, or is it actually toned down over the years?
I suppose it depends on the context that you're using it more than anything else. I mean, I grew up in an era where it was used in a derogatory term, in a derogatory way.
And I guess that's why I have this self-conscious... Yep. About using the term for that very reason.
Yeah, so I mean, back then it was obviously, you know, we were called wogs and we were made to feel inferior, when in fact we are very superior. whereas nowadays it's used as it's set in pride, I think, more than anything else. I mean, I look at the younger generation and they have no trouble calling themselves wogs. And they deal with it quite well.
So let me get this straight. I have this colleague who's Greek, and she said all Europeans except the Pommies are wogs. Is that right?
I don't know.
Well, from an Australian point of view, I think back in the derogatory days, as I recall, it would normally be directed at Italians and Greeks or Middle Europeans.
Well, they're the only culture that you really had here.
That's right.
That was foreign.
Yeah.
Other than the Anglo-Saxons.
But I couldn't imagine using the term against, say, Russians or Polish or something like that, for example. Certainly
it's
not
Mediterranean Europeans.
Mediterranean Europe, yeah, I guess.
So, you know, it's quite amazing how, you know, drawing parallels in, you know, it was uncool to be black in America many, many years ago. Now black is cool.
Oh, of course, they've got a president.
Yeah, that, and also, you know, the walks were uncool, now walks are really cool. So, you know, the United We Done, it's a really cool walk party. Well,
oh, definitely.
With all, you know, other things thrown in, like, you know, Asian, Korean.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. We now use the word wog to mean everyone that's not Anglo.
Yes. So I'm a wog, and you're a wog. I'm a chinky wog. You're on Joy 94.9 Orange Room with Alan and Kafam.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, the only radio station in the country that's out and proud. Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon, Alan and Kafam with you here. Our guest tonight, John, Australian Greek background. Now, we have been discussing the United We Dance Party. And, you know, now that we put you on the hot seat, find out a bit more about yourself.
Oh, okay. This is the boring part of the
story. This is the boring bit, you know, turn the dial, change the station. Now, tell us something that not many people know about you.
Oh, God. I've got two kids.
Now, that's something I don't know. We only just met today. And your daughter just graduated from the VCE today.
Yeah,
finished
year 12 today.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Now, just, you know, me, because I'm Chinese from India, you know, there's going to be a bit of stereotype involved over here. You know, being Chinese... You know, we have extended family, Chinese New Year, and being bilingual and being proud of it. You know, what does it mean for you to be, personally to you, to be Greek?
I suppose it's got a lot to do with our culture, more than anything else. Religion has played a big part in that, especially when our parents came out here in the 50s and 60s. They didn't assimilate very well, and they kept within their own Greek communities. I'm generalizing here, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because some did assimilate quite well. So all my friends that I had growing up were Greek. Yes, we interacted with other kids at school, but outside of school, it was very much Greek. And it was the music, the dancing, the family events. Every weekend we had something on when I was growing up, so... Yeah, and to me, it's the language, it's the food, it's the culture. It's going to Greece as often as I can.
Do you feel that you belong there? That when you go back to Greece,
it's
the fact
funny.
That you were born here.
Yeah, it's really funny. I think the first few times that I went, I was really looking forward to going because we didn't feel like we belonged here because we were the Wogs and all that sort of stuff, especially when I was younger. And then when we went to Greece for the first time, I also didn't feel like I belonged there. Whereas now they're both home and it's really difficult to choose between the two.
So do you feel that you could potentially move back to Greece permanently?
In my particular case, I don't see it happening, only because I've
but
got...
But mentally?
Yeah, look, after this trip, the last one that I had, I really felt connected, especially with... I spent more time in Athens and enjoyed the nightlife and the gay life and all that sort of stuff. And I really... Well, not depressed, but I felt... like I was missing something when I came back, because the nightlife there is completely different from here, very different.
In what way?
We don't have, or they don't have, the problems there of that we seem to have with the drinking, binging, and I mean they grow up from a very young age being accustomed to alcohol. So I think, you know, they don't go out there to drink. They go out there to have a good time, with their friends and family or on their own or whatever the case may be. And it's not all about drinking. I mean, we were out till 5 or 6 o'clock on a, you know, on a weeknight and the streets were full, totally full.
Mm. And we just got a message from Tom, who's Irish, and he's proud to be a wok. And he's got an Irish band, little stiff little fingers. I don't know what he's talking about. Sung a song about wogs.
But I'd have to say that I don't think I would call an Irish a wog. That's not a terminology I would normally use.
He's a really untanned wog, I would say.
I've met some cute Irish in the past.
Tell us more.
No, I'm just curious. Now you're saying that, you know, the Greeks, the youth in Greece, you know, they go out to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say it's because they have a different family, you know, structure as well?
Oh, it's not just the youth. I mean, I'm no spring chicken. Well, I think the family, it's different there because up until fairly recently, a lot of kids, once they finished high school, they had to leave home to go and study because universities and colleges there specialised in specific areas. And so if you wanted to do medicine, you may have to go to Athens, or if you wanted to do something else, you may have to go to Thessalonica or some other city. So kids got away from home, I think, a lot earlier, whereas here you weren't allowed out of home until you got married. So there's that aspect of it. I think that's changing now with their education system as well. But it's just a very different society. Our parents here are pretty well still living in the 60s.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Kafam and Alan. Our guest in the studio tonight is John from Greek and Gay, and also involved in United We Dance, which is coming up this coming
Sunday
evening.
You want choice? You've got it. Joy.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9, Alan and Kafam with you. And we have, you know, what was that song?
That was Maria Iacovu, Dos Bum Yabradia.
Give Me One Night.
That's right.
My God, I'm good.
Yes, yeah, very good.
Is one night enough for you, John?
Depends on the guy.
Now, I found this quiz on the internet. I want to quiz you about how Greek you are.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Did your parents ever threaten to hit you with a badofla?
Yes. And a badofla is either a slipper or a thong or whatever.
But do people...
So I've got visions of me running around the house with my mother chasing me with one, yes.
And have you ever been hit by one?
Yeah.
And do you just hit in one go or like ta-ta-ta-ta-ta?
Oh, you only need one.
On a bare backside or...
No.
Okay. Now, have you ever been warned about giving someone the evil eye?
Yes.
What is that, the evil eye? I've never heard of the evil
eye. That's a superstitious thing. That you might see people walking around with a little blue stone... And a black, it looks like an eye, a blue eye with the black bit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like cursing someone.
So you're wearing it out in the open to curse everyone?
No. You're wearing it to protect yourself against getting cursed.
Ah.
Yes.
So that's actually the good eye protecting you from the bad eye.
It's not just a great thing, actually. I found out that I went to Israel and they have it there, and they have it in the Middle East as well. And yeah. But yes, we all believe in that sort of stuff. Well, most of us.
And okay, next one. Do you have worry beads hanging in your rear view mirror?
Not anymore, but I do have.
Well, that would have to be considered very Greek from an Australian point of view.
They're worry beads.
Yes.
You don't have the nodding dog in the back
No.
Oh, okay.
Mine's a convertible. I can't put anything in the back.
I just found it quite funny because I just realized now there's actually beads and there's rear involved. And that, you know, in a gay thing, that's quite funny.
Anyway. Okay.
Okay.
Next question.
Do you know who the trio bel canto are?
Who?
The trio bel canto. He's looking at it right now. Trio bel canto?
No, I fail on that one.
I fail big time. Now, how old were you when you got baptized?
It's usually less than one.
Less than one?
Yeah, usually about somewhere between 6 months and 12 months. I usually get baptized in the Greek church.
And
that's because you can't say no.
Yeah, obviously. And is it a big event?
Oh, it's a huge event. The wedding's obviously the big, big one. But the christening can be just as huge. I mean, we've been to christenings where they've had, you know, 300 people invited.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
So this happened in the church?
In the church, and then they celebrate in a hall or a tavern or whatever. But every family does it differently. My sister's planning her third next year, and... they'll probably invite up to about 100 people.
Now, even though you are first-generation Australian and you have children who are second-generation Australians...
Correct.
Those second-generation Australians, you would put them through the same process?
Yeah.
They would go through the same thing?
Yeah, my kids have go to Greek school. My daughter's finished and graduated from Greek school. She's actually a Greek school teacher. As of next year, I don't think we push it on them as much as our parents did. I didn't want to go to Greek school when I was about seven. I got a kick up the backside and pretty well went to Greek school after that. That was for the foot. in the end, it's worked to my advantage. I can go to Greece and I feel comfortable talking Greek with my cousins and family there.
What about your children in terms of the language? Mm-hmm. Have they become as competent with Greek as you are, or not so much so?
They're quite good. They understand it better than they speak it, only because we obviously don't speak it at home as much. Whereas when we grew up, our parents didn't really know English, so Greek was our first language. Mm. Whereas for the next generation, English is their first language and Greek's their second language. But they're doing quite well. I mean, my family overseas were quite impressed with my kids' skills in the language and understanding and all that sort of stuff.
So how do they pick it up? If you don't use Greek at home in your generation,
mm-hmm.
Do they actually learn Greek somewhere? Or?
Oh, yeah, they go to Greek school.
Of course, yes.
I mentioned that before.
Do they kick up a storm about? Do they resist going to the Greek school like you did?
Some do. I think I was fortunate. Mine really didn't kick up a stink. Greek school is a lot different these days than it was when I went. But I didn't push mine. If they didn't want to do it, they didn't have to do it. But I think they've been back. I've taken them to Greece once, and they saw the benefits of knowing the language, and they both liked it there. So. I think that's one for any parents out there that are really struggling with their kids at Greek school. Take them to Greece for 1 year or for a short time, and they'll change their minds pretty quickly.
So that's one way of doing it.
Yes.
Now, generation to generation. Now, you being first generation Australian of Greek heritage,
mm-hmm.
you would have a slightly different upbringing, obviously, because you're sort of got a foot in each culture, if you like, in your growing up years.
Yep.
The second generation, is their lifestyle yet different again? Now, taking into account the fact that even with an Australian context, obviously each generation has a slightly different life, but in terms of their Greek involvement, is it getting less and less?
Oh, definitely.
Generation to generation.
Yeah, but, you know, it varies from family to family. I mean, I've got... I've found generally that most people become or go to church less often because church is a big thing in the Greek culture. But then again, I know people that go to church, you know, younger people that go every week and are fairly active in the Greek church. So it's hard to generalize, but we're more, the younger generation, I think, is more integrated into Australian society and mixing with. My kids have got friends from all cultures. It's completely different from my growing up.
And I guess where I'm heading with that is, do you see it eventually watering down to the point, say, another two or three generations down, where the Greek heritage really will sort of almost dissipate?
No, I don't think it'll ever go.
You don't think?
It's too strong. It's too good. We all enjoy it. Greece will always be there. It's not something that will disappear. And, you know, Greece is one of the, you know, countries that are resisting becoming European. They're in the EU, but, you know, you talk to everyone there and they say, no, we're not European, we're Greek.
Mm. I guess I'm trying to compare it on the other foot. If I were to migrate to Greece and assuming I became competent in the Greek language and then I had a family in Greece and so on and so on, I would imagine if the foot, so she was on the other foot, so to speak, that eventually my Australian culture, what little there is of Australian culture, if you like, and that might be being unfair, would eventually dissipate.
Greece is changing very rapidly. I mean, this year I noticed the amount of immigrants from all over the world. You know, you'd walk down the street and Asians and physical appearance, you know, you could tell they were not Greek, but they're talking Greek fluently. So Greece is changing and becoming more, because the borders have opened up as well. Mm. So, yeah, look, it's a hard one to delve into the future.
Yeah,
of course. But,
and it doesn't bother you, you know, in case one day it dissipates.
I probably won't be around then.
Anyway, getting back to just wrapping up,
yes,
United We Dance, which is really the event that we're trying to help you promote at the moment.
Yep.
Let's re-summarise. It's next Sunday evening.
This Sunday,
all right.
This comes on the 16th.
In about 4 days, yes.
And starts at 7.
Starts at 7 o'clock. Try and get there early if you can. It's $10 to get in. All the proceeds go to the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. There'll be nibblies and there'll be drink on arrival and there'll be entertainment and, as we said earlier on, WOG music all night.
International WOG music.
Yes. The broader WOG music.
Yes, and there'll be three shows on the night as well. What else?
Information from...
Our sponsors are providing Manhunt, bringing a few things along on the night for people to take away. Our other major sponsors have been Skinnerbait, Mamakas Greek restaurant in Chapel Street, Joy FM, Joy 94.9, and I've forgotten someone.
Well,
I definitely have.
Details,
and I'm going to get killed.
But further information is available from.
www.unitedwedance.org.au.
.org.au.
That probably just about wraps up. So that's coming this Sunday night. That's the 16th.
Well, I'm looking forward to
the market.
At the market.
On
yes,
Commercial
we forgot
Road.
To forgot
Well,
to
I'm
that.
Looking forward to the, you know, the international nibblies, and I might just skip dinner. Well, that's Orange Ribbon for another week. Thank you, John, for coming on the show.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Sharing yourself with us. And thank you, Nick, on the phone. And also next week.
Yes, next week I'll be playing an interview that I recorded last Sunday up in Hong Kong. And somebody who I've been talking to, a friend of mine, in fact, for about the last 18 months, I've been talking to him about talking to me about being HIV positive and Chinese. And he's been HIV positive for 21 years. So that's coming up next Sunday. Sunday on Orange, next Wednesday. Now I got confused with the other events. Next Wednesday night on Orange Ribbon.
I'm going to send you back to the International English School. Well, coming up next on Joy is a team from the Sports Lounge. Thanks for joining us on the Orange Ribbon tonight. As usual, we'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday. That's all from us this evening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.